Okay, may this retreat and this session be useful for us to find our purpose, and if we already find our purpose, to carry on with our purpose in this life to benefit of all living beings.
Thank you.
So how was the Qigong?
It's very good.
You teach us
without speaking much. But
yeah, that's good. Now I know you're a Qigong teacher. I'll let you do it next year.
Well, she's looking for training.
Yes, I'm looking for. So I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah.
So maybe you could.
Yeah.
Recommend someone?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know much about what Qigong here in this country or Europe or anything, you know. So, okay, well, where are we? We have 2.5 more days to go. I would just like to mention something that Margaret brought up, which was that what do you do when you go home? If you want to continue this practice, but you don't want to do, you know, the whole sadhana. And I just said, if you've had the empowerment, you know, you can just, if you've already done some practice, you know, you've already taken refuge in bodhicitta, you can just arise as Tara and visualize Amitayus on your head and feel the nectars and rays pouring down and say the mantra. Or if you didn't have the empowerment, you can just have it on the crown of your head. And, you know, there's so much variation here. You know, we've got 6 different colors for peace, increase, control, and wrath, and activity and stability, and then we have, you know, nectars and rays for long life. We have 5 colors for the healing. We have, you know, merits coming in. We have, so I think that if you can remember, you know, whichever one you want to use, or you want to use the same one all the time, you know, you can just recite the mantra and heal yourself, you know, and if you want to include other sentient beings, if you want to put someone in your heart. But you can just make it very simple. You don't have to do all the long, you know, offerings and.
When we do the mantra, we have the white Tara mantra, and the short version, is it just, it's not just green Tara? Or
yeah, it's just green Tara. Om Tara Tichari Tori Soha.
Yes.
So it says in the commentary, usually you just do one mala of the white Tara, and then if you're doing, you know, like a longer retreat where you're sitting and doing mantras for half an hour, which I think the longest we've done is maybe 15 minutes. Then you can just recite some white Taras and then you just go with green Tara, because if you're doing the retreat, it says, I think the retreat is 1,000,000 Tara mantras. But you count the green Tara, you count just Tara mantras, Om Tara Tichari Soha. And but you still do all the visualizations, you know. Because I guess that's Tara's mantra, whether it's green Tara or white. It's Tara's mantra, you know. But I know red Tara's Om Chari Tam Soha. So there's different versions of Tara's mantra, but the basic one is Om Chari Chi Chari Chari Soha. So yeah, and if you're feeling like you need some increase, you do the yellow. If you're feeling like you need a bit of controlling, you can do the red. And if you feel like you're doing a bit of healing, you can have the 5 colors. If you want a long life, you know. And if you want to help somebody, you can put them in your heart. So I think you can kind of do what, I mean, the main thing you don't want to do is just think, oh, I've got to do this, and then it becomes a chore. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's good to just start light, you know. And then if you feel like doing more, then do more. But if you don't, but it's good to do a little bit every. I mean, I say 21 white Tara mantras every day. I mean, I've done that for years and years and years, and I just do, you know. It takes a couple minutes, so it's just good to keep the connection, you know. And if you're ill, you might want to do a lot, you know. But it's just up to you. Or if you know someone is ill, you might want to do a lot for that person. Yeah.
If somebody's ill, what's the difference between doing the white Tara mantra, say, and say doing the medicine Buddha mantra?
You know, I guess it's whatever you think. I mean, I think if you're a lama or if you wanted to do a mo, you could do a mo and see which one does better. I think Tara is more connected with extending life. So if someone looks like they have a fatal disease, then I would choose that. It's a long life. Whereas Medicine Buddha is more just general healing, you know? And White Tara does both. Yeah.
I just ask because I know that, you know, often if I've asked in the past, it's often been said, oh, you know, going to see somebody that's sick, do Medicine Buddha.
Mm.
Yeah,
I think it's, you know, if we had clairvoyance, we would see which one works better. But you might just ask your intuition. You know, you might just, whatever your deity, whatever it is, and just kind of, I mean, I think we need to have more faith in ourselves. You know, and just ask, you know, take a good refuge in bodhicitta, and then just, which one would work better for this person, you know? Yeah. But I'm sure they both work. So, and whichever one you feel, I think, you know, I mean, I think it's good to follow your hunches on these things. Yeah, because we're more connected than we believe we are. We have more wisdom than we allow ourselves to have. You know?
I think it's really helpful thinking of a particular person, qualities.
And, yeah. And remember that, you know, the Tara is also the guru, too, you know, that. And then,
Regarding to the colors and the meanings, do you have anything written down that the...
More than what's in the sadhana?
Yes, more than that.
Well, you know, in the commentary, it doesn't really say any more than what's in the sadhana either.
It's just that, okay.
Yeah, but we could go through it. I mean, a nice exercise for us to do is think of, you know, we go around the room and... What are the qualities of pacification? You know, we're pacifying illness, spirit harm, obscuration, obstacles. You know, but what would that mean? You know, what does that mean to you to pacify? Does it mean to purify? Does it mean to make, you know? I don't know. I mean, we could think about it.
Okay.
That would be really helpful because I wanted to ask about that as well.
Yeah, and
each time you've led it, you've added a few more bits and found myself thinking, now, which one do the six perfections come into? And,
I think the more you do, I mean, that just comes to me when we're doing it. You know, I think increasing, what do we want to increase? You know, well, we want to increase our merits. We want to increase our, I mean, increasing is lots of stuff, right? We want to increase all kinds of things. So you can go to town on increasing. And pacifying, you can get very specific. I want to pacify my anger. I want to pacify that habit I have of, you know, whatever it is, you know. I mean, you can be quite specific. And then when you do feel the nectars and rays, you can be targeting that thing. I have a tumor. I want to pacify that tumor, you know, hit it right there, you know, whatever. You know, I have a sore throat. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to destroy those germs and put the blue ones there, you know. I mean, we just have to be creative, you know. It's nothing, it's... Yeah, I think we should encourage ourselves to be creative. It's not that hard to figure that out, you know. I mean, what do we want to subjugate and control, you know? I mean, a lot of what we want to purify is what we also want to control, you know. So what's the difference? I mean, this is a question I would ask you, you know. What's the difference between something you want to pacify and something you want to control? I mean, what when would you use one and the other? Or the other? Anybody thought about that?
I could see pacifying. And when anger's arising, and controlling perhaps is more a sense of working with the mind on a more sort of general ongoing basis. So that to try and catch the anger before it starts arising.
Right. Sort of thing. Yeah. Anybody else? Control?
Well, control, you could think in terms of controlling desire, but using that somehow on the path.
Right, rather than pacifying it, but controlling is sort of like a way of maybe using it.
Yeah, that's right. Where pacifying is more, you're trying not eradicate it, but you're trying
stop
to subdue it. Where control is more suggests changing it or altering it in some way for your own purpose.
Yeah.
It's like control has more direction, doesn't it? it seems like to me that, you know, when you're controlling something, you are guiding it in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not following that mind of attachment that's taking you one way, you are heading in another way.
Hmm. Good point. Yeah, you control it for a more specific reason.
Yeah.
Like controlling a fire, you control a fire, you don't pacify a fire, isn't it?
No. That's good.
Yeah. So I think I think it's just something to contemplate on your own and take some time to think about your own life and how those activities, you could incorporate them into what you need at this time in your life and work with that, and then in a couple of years it might be something else, you know?
Do they go in a kind of order of a sort of flexi kind?
Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah.
But I'd have to pacify things.
You think
perhaps
you'd...
before I could see what I sensibly wanted increase.
That's right. You could see it that
Do
way.
You see? Mm. And then you end up with the stability of the...
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm. Yeah, they do. They do actually have a progression.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because activities differently. Useful activities. You might need the other bits.
To make an activity happen.
To make it.
Yeah.
Beneficial.
That's right. Yeah, I would think a bit of activity would be if you want to manifest something, you know.
So are you seeing them as a metaphor for the whole path, for the entire path? Is that what you were?
Yes, I hadn't thought that big, but I mean, yes, in a way. When I first heard them and did them, I thought they go and they have a...
Mm. Well, there's definitely an order in the sadhana, isn't there?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, I suppose I was. Because then they seem to be the possibilities of.
Mm. Yeah, because that would work, wouldn't it? When you start out, you're kind of, you know, working with very gross stuff, for want of a better word, but, you know, sort of very. And then you work towards the more subtle manifestations. Of, thank you, I hadn't thought about it like that.
Well, it is, and it's also that bit where it says not destroyed even by the woods, the winds of it.
At the end of fire, the fire at the end of time or something.
And you think, that's what made you think, they must be really it.
Really powerful.
Really, really powerful.
You're supposed to think about that completely, that you are that protected.
Yeah.
You know, that you're so protected that it's almost, it's like life to life, isn't it? Yeah.
So in the sadhana where it says when Amitais is bringing everything back into the vase, it talks about the three worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing, maybe wrongly, that that's past, present, and future.
I don't really know what they are either.
Okay.
The three worlds, I suppose so, you know. I don't know. Unless it's the three realms, you know, it could be the formless realm, the form realm, and the desire realm. I don't know what it means by... And
it specifies
three
worlds.
I didn't see that in the commentary, what definition of that was. Yeah. It doesn't say realms, though.
No.
Usually the past, present refers to times, you know, past, present, future times, but I don't know. I just guess I'm just thinking it means every all the worlds, you know.
All the realms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it was the time thing, would that fit in with the karma in terms of purifying past actions, purifying future, you know, what we have
done,
that's the same future activities.
Yeah, I like the way Carol's, I know the woman who translated it. I've never liked negative karma. I like much more unwholesome imprints. I think that's a much better way to translate it.
Mm.
Has less kind of punitive
connotations,
you know.
That's original sin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you say? So is it imprint or?
The.
You see it as.
Unwholesome imprint instead of saying negative karma.
Unwholesome.
Unwholesome imprint. Mm-hmm. They talk about karmic imprints.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, karma leaves an imprint on your mind. So.
It is the first word.
Unwholesome. You know, it's just what we don't. Unwholesome is what we don't want, you know, it's just not healthy, right? Yeah. I mean, rather, they using the word unwholesome as opposed to negative, you know? Because negative is too strong of a word.
Yeah. Negative karma is very strong.
Yeah.
So there was only the punition.
Yeah, it just sounds too punitive, like I said, you know, it's too, like... You can read into it, you know, that whole thing, I'm bad, you know.
Mm.
We're not bad. We're just stupid.
We forget who's good. I
like that.
Yeah, that's great.
Usually you say ignorant. That stupid is good. Go straight to the point.
We should have badges. I'm not bad, I'm stupid.
Excuse me.
Once in Canada, I called that gentleman I wanted to meet, and it just repeated for like 15 minutes on the phone. You've created it, it's your fault, you know, you need to pay for that. Oh, well, I said, well, thank you very much, bye. Because it was really, really bad. So I say, okay, I know, in a way I created it, I know it came to my lap for something, and you know, it's there to show me another way to the one that was on, so another path. But,
that's so cruel when people say things like that.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, wow.
People misuse karma.
But if you go a little bit beyond that, those words, I created, which I created, which is this I that created. So if you go a little bit, this is my understanding. Now I am Sonia, but who created the karma to be what I am now? It was not Sonia, it was not. So it's even that, it's not, even if you wanted to say it's your, or it's not, because I can't put this more into words. it's difficult to...
Yeah, oh, today I can relate it to some action I did, you know, but also I work, as I said to a couple of you, on the over this transgenerational as well.
Mm-hmm. So, and who knows... But what she's saying is it's like
to say something, but it's difficult.
No, but I think what she's trying to say is that, you know, Sonia's empty. You know that Sonia there was a subtle mind that had a body in a previous life, but it doesn't. Sonia has no memory of that, and it's just I mean, I think it rather than person. I think we make karma too personal, you know, like rather than personalizing and saying, oh, I did this in a past life, it's like, well, somewhere, somehow, in some century, billions of years ago, I did, you know, whoever this consciousness had a body that did something, and now I'm experiencing the result. Is that kind of more what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I'm trying, because it's not the real...
Thank you for bringing that to my, you know, knowledge, and hopefully it will help everyone, you know. Because I think it's,
But to think it's like I'm being, this kind of thing of, you know, God's punishing me, that's just not, it's not on, you know, it's not what's happening.
And when we think about all sentient beings, when we say that I want to progress, I want to get in line to all sentient beings, and I am one of those.
Exactly.
And of course, one of those.
Yeah,
I am within all of them. Well, Lumberless says lumberless, but so if we... To fit in our minds, if we think about like the scent of off a
with
beach.
The Ganges?
Yeah, but like it's
well, that's the traditional one.
Yeah, so it does. I was trying to put in more in the to that we could visualize, but like the Ganges, we are just one of those grains, and we are not more important one than the other. So.
But we are important.
We are important, but not one more than the other.
Mm-mm.
They all make part of the same.
Mm-hmm.
But well, we are one.
Yeah, so.
So my friend Isi, who had a really bad smash, we were talking to her, and she said something that was really helpful for me when I got my first diagnosis. She said, you know, when she had a really bad smash and she came through the coma and came through everything, she said, you know, of course me. Why? Because, you know, she, at some point in your mind stream, in your continuous mind stream, you're going to experience some sort of suffering. So I found that really helpful because it was just like, well, yeah, of course me.
Hopefully, but some kind of suffering I think we all have or will have, or I wish not, but that's a human
being. Being in samsara is suffering.
But you need, it's like, you know, you don't know it's black before you know the white. So, one need the contrary in order that you identify it.
I always like that mind training of, by me experiencing the suffering, may all other beings not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that one. May I be taking this on for all beings, you know. Somehow that always comforts me somehow, you know.
But I strongly believe today that, you know, through this body and this experience, life experience, I call it, I'm here to heal something.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth is here to hear something, which is something be there from somewhere else, from another life, from the life of somebody else in the line, on the lineage, and therefore it's to, thank you for bringing it to my consciousness, but it's to take that guiltiness out of.
Yeah, don't, yeah.
I created it, but it just came through me, and
that's
it's here
right.
To heal, and that's why I'm here today.
Yeah.
You? And you participate to that great emotion of it.
Yeah.
But
okay.
You're participating to this path as all the people have been throughout my life and the last 6 years and going with me. And that's great.
Yeah.
But it is for more for the future generation.
Of
my lineage, but also of others who will, is all around. And all I thought the day I got diagnosed, the first is told me, you got a brain tumor, I just cried.
Yeah.
But the first thing came to my mind, I said, okay, this experience need to be, you know, helping others, maybe be of some help to others.
Mm.
Whatever the outcome, it doesn't matter.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And I realized after that it was, you know, maybe not as common, but it was the first thought who came to my mind.
Wow.
And I just thought, wow. But for me, it wasn't that wow, it was just like, ah! You know, I was sick. I said, you want a cup of tea? yes, with milk. Ah, no. And it was just like, is that shock? They say that the way the doctors tell you the diagnostic is very important to the, I've been told, that the way you're told your diagnostic is very important to the way you will overcome.
Oh, really?
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's been a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
But still, you know, but whatever the 21st of November this year, I will have my yearly scan for the next one, and I'm convinced that I will heal.
You can.
I will make it. I'm very lucky, all in all. I've been lucky, and I'm really, I feel blessed through that experience. It healed a lot of things in my life, in my family as well, in my relationship. So it has the benefit of it for me are greater than the negativity that brought.
And you're still here.
And yes, after the doctor told me that, I would die in 5 years in an horrible way. I think I'm 3 years or 4 years down the way, down the line, that should be. And I'm ready to prove them wrong.
Nowadays, they shouldn't not be even be allowed to say how long you can live, because that is something that they cannot say.
They
shouldn't say.
They weren't happy because
they
didn't want to do what they wanted me to do, because I refused what they call treatment.
I think they didn't say anymore, I think maybe
if the patient asks and it's quite soon, an expectation of it being, you know, there's not really any, because the signs are in the blood and everything, that it's going to be quite soon and there's no further chemo or further, or the patient has decided that, then they should discuss it.
But there's still a lot of
bad communication in certain...
No, in that case, they just really want to give me an electroshock. But anyway, I think it took me a good couple of years to come out of those words who were so strong that my mind was just like,
Now
you can search for Lama Zopa's advice in certain situations, that it will be the opposite that doctor told you. It will like give you like a refresh. I love his letters. But in FBMT?
Yes, I know. I've seen that.
Yes.
You mean just on the website you can put things in?
No. So students ask for Lama Zopa's advice in several situations. And some are so similar that they are available, like if you have
a tumor. It's a book.
No, the lady who had to release animals. Her testimony is in there, because I saw it. So you've got brain tumors, cancer, different things. And he said what he gave to different people.
Have you ever written to Holly to find out a prescription for you from Lama Zopa?
I show that picture with Robina, who's been taking earlier this year, to him. And he asked if I was Buddhist. And obviously I trust him with his, because I know that he's known to have clairvoyance. So obviously my friend would say no, you know, she haven't taken refuge yet. So he said to repeat this prayer, to say that may all being in this world, in all the world, being free of sickness. So I think that's why he didn't went into a deeper explanation in this case. But so that's why I'm not, you know, I could go, but it's not maybe I'm not allowed, but you know, it's not.
I don't know. I think you can ask.
To be a Buddhist, if you want to take refuge or not, it's your decision.
Ah, yes, of course. But
you mean an answer from Rinpoche? Do you mean a medical answer from Rinpoche and I advise?
Yeah.
Well, maybe the karma wasn't ready then, but you could also send another message now.
For several days I was thinking, I need to ask Sophie, I need to ask Sophie, I need to ask Sophie.
No, just write to yourself. Say, you can write to Holly and say, I've just been at a 10-day Waitara retreat with Paula, they know me, and this is what's going on with me, and I'm just wondering, when there's time, could you please ask Rinpoche what's the best way for me to proceed? It's just Holly at FPMT.
Because what has been very funny that I was thinking, I need to ask Sophie, and I have no idea what she was doing. And then I was at that bus stop, and I was just typing a message for her. It's my friend Sophie, who is Buddhist and lives in Lavore. So if you go to Lavore one day, you'll see how she just started the first year training.
But, there's nothing like I mean, we were just talking about the last retreat. I mean, you don't have to have a formal refuge ceremony to be a Buddhist. If you have refuge in your heart, you're a Buddhist. You don't have to, like, it's not like Christianity, we have to get a confirmation or anything, you know? I mean, because even the refuge ceremony, Andy was telling us a couple of weeks ago that they just made that up for Westerners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't. You don't need, you know, that's just something that.
Refuge.
Yeah.
What about all the refuge barriers?
I didn't know.
Were they for Westerners as well?
Well, I don't know. I suppose, I mean, there can be refuge vows, but you don't have to. I mean, everybody can take refuge, but you don't have to have a formal. The thing about the formal ceremony with a name, that's what they did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all you have to do is say, I take refuge in the Buddha, and you've taken refuge. And you've been saying that every day here.
Yeah. I know, but that's what I do every day.
Yeah, so you have taken refuge. You don't have to, if someone asks you, have you taken refuge? Well, you have.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have sat down with Rabina and she gives you a name, Tupten Khadro. You know, you just have to, like, just feel it in your heart. That's all it is. Then you have refuge.
There was a story about me because I come from the Theravada, so I was already Buddhist in the Theravada. In the Theravada, they have like, it's not a ritual. It's like there is only a monk with something in front and he just give the refuge and you just repeat. And if you repeat with your heart, you are Buddhist.
Yeah.
So I always say I'm Buddhist. So when I came to the monastery in hand, I want to take the bodhisattva vows, and there was like a half of the monastery split, like if I could take it or not. So, and then someone let me take it, so now I took it. But it was always a little bit edgy because it's like,
Ooh, I
felt the Buddhist, so I didn't know.
No.
But you know, someone else gives it to the public, bodhisattva vows and everything. So.
My brother's taking bodhisattva vows, and he doesn't know the first thing about them.
When we talk in Copan, when you talk about, because Lama Zopa always give the refuge at the end of the November course, and what they say, there are always people making questions, and what they explain is when you take refuge, you don't take in a tradition, you take refuge
in the Buddha.
So it's not, you don't take refuge in Theravada or in here. So you take refuge in, and then we follow the one that we feel that we want to follow, but we don't take a refuge in a tradition.
No, it's just, people love to make rules. That's all, you know. I mean, people love to take rules, and they like to make things difficult for other people. And it's just, it just sort of makes, I don't know why, but there's just some people that are like that. They like rules, and they like to follow rules, and they probably were in the military in a previous life, you know? But it's not really like that in Buddhism, you know? You know, like she just said, I mean, the Dalai Lama will give bodhisattva vows to 5,000 people. Yeah. He doesn't know who's taken a formal refuge or not. He doesn't care. I mean, I was really glad my brother was there and repeated it three times, you know? That means he's got the imprint, you know? Yeah. And he liked it enough, he put it on his refrigerator door for a few years, you know?
If I'm here with you today, that there's probably something somewhere in all, in, as you say, an imprint would make that, you know.
Yeah.
I found that.
Yeah, and you know, you can say you've been doing the White Tower practice, and you know.
I certainly do, because I feel better now than when I arrived.
Yeah. Yeah, well, keep doing it, you know, and keep doing the Qigong, and, you know.
Yeah, I love Qigong. So.
Yeah, Qigong, and you'll continue to feel better, and you can really, I mean, you can really be quite specific with that tumor, you know, with the white rays and nectars pouring in, you know. You can really just surround that tumor, you know, and when you do the increase, you can, I'm increasing my T cells and my whatever cells, you know, I'm that one about, that I've been doing about the immune system at the end, you know, you do all that stuff, and all that stuff works, you know.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I work for Elizabeth. Do follow her intuition.
Yeah.
Really much, and that's how everything, you know.
Yeah.
What I've learned, and it's really strong. And as far as you know, how to trust yourself, just go for it.
Well, that's one of the really good things you've learned, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been several years.
Yeah.
I've suddenly, you know, again, but it's like coming back to that little seed in you would send you some messages, but we don't recognize them.
We don't listen to them.
No. And even if I say on the 21st of November, if the result is not what I would expect, I say, okay, well, you know, usually I get a deep of 2-3 days, and then on here we go, and just continue, because there's nothing else you can, you know, it's just crack on until the day where, but my case is as well, you know, everybody is different. I've got a different illness, or so I'm very lucky, very, very lucky in my position. So every day I'm very grateful. I didn't die.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're all going to die someday, isn't it?
Yeah. Each day is one more day. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really one of the things I kind of work on, is just not being attached to this life and this body. And because no matter how much we, at least for me anyway, think about it and talk about it, I'm sure when you actually die, it's a big shock.
Mm.
You know, whoa, look at that dead body, you know. Especially because they get so gross so fast. You know, have you ever seen dead bodies, you know, when they're 2 days old? They're pretty bad, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that,
it is the vehicle.
Yeah. And when the spirit's no longer there, just rots away really fast. It's amazing to see that, actually.
Mm.
That it's just really what Shantideva says, you know, we're just energizing a corpse, you know. Because as soon as the energy is not longer there, it's just this corpse, you know? We put so much attention on it and do all these things for it, because we have to. But, it's an interesting thing about bodies, isn't it?
So when you talking about targeting, so this is just personal to me, I guess.
It's okay.
For the first time ever in the sadhana, I've been using noises with that light as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay to
Yeah.
do?
I think more
like
the
whoosh.
Yeah, I think more the better.
Okay.
You know, if you want to use noises and smells and touches and tastes, and why not, you know? I mean, I would give it all the ammunition you can get, you know.
So if other images come to you, I had a little weird barricade along, tipping stuff down and, you know, stuff I didn't want to think about. Like a toy with, I mean, I didn't think of it just came across. It was another thing that had to go down the hole, really.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
But if they come to you, you just... You
can just use them.
Okay.
More I get stuff like that in dreams, but if you get it right in the meditation, then...
I mean, I didn't hang around with it.
Yeah.
So it sort of had its place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just your mind helping you. It was just an aid, wasn't it? Yeah. What was it? A wheelbarrow of nectars? Is that what it was?
No, it's a wheelbarrow of thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Wasn't that fun? Lots of wheelbarrows growing. It's not as important as your noise, is it?
No, of course it is.
It's the same sort of thing, though.
Yeah,
suddenly something else comes to you, and it made me think of what you said yesterday about clear. It was yesterday about clearing, letting energy just go.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
the big horns, the monks play. That's it.
It's an amazing sound. You know what happens is the colour comes in and it goes whoosh and it goes.
Yeah.
And every time, and I don't know where that's come from, but that's what it happens.
Why not? Probably, it probably.
Loading with.
Then as it goes, out, and then as it goes out into the egg, it just gets calmer. The noises get calmer.
How interesting!
It's the weirdest thing. It's the first time it's ever happened in the sadhana.
I kind of like that. I might actually incorporate that. Because you can see how that works. Can I ask about sealing with emptiness? Because at the end, You say sealing everything.
That just means that with the dedication that you understand that myself is a dependent arise, you know, that myself, what I'm offering is the merit, and I'm dedicated to sentient beings, and that this all arises in dependence upon each other, and that even those individual things, if you look for them, they don't truly exist. And the reason they say to seal it with emptiness is because it's really important to recollect emptiness when you make a dedication, because it's not really going towards enlightenment as purely if you don't give it the emptiness side as well. And one of the things that is said, and I don't know if it's superstition or not, but if you seal dedications with emptiness, if you end practice with a dedication that recollects emptiness, it can't be destroyed by anger. But otherwise, those merits can be destroyed by anger. This is a little scary, but I mean, at least for me, I think it's Kirti Sentum Rinpoche said, and I've read it in other places, that unless a Dharma practice, unless a virtuous activity is combined with the ascertainment of emptiness, it doesn't get you out of samsara. Because the only thing that really gets you out of samsara is emptiness. And you can do virtuous things, but they'll just ripen in nice stuff in your next life. But if you really want it to go towards enlightenment, then the least you can do, if you can't be experiencing emptiness while you're doing it, because that's the best, but at least if you try at the end of the day to just dedicate everything with emptiness, then it actually will go to enlightenment. It seems to me, though, but if you say I'm doing this for all sentient beings and I'm dedicated to enlightenment, that it would go there anyway. But I'm just telling you what I've been told. So what you really want to do is make sure that...
Can you just say the words even if you don't know what...
You mean sealing with emptiness? Yes. Well, everything is a dependent arising, right?
Yeah.
The subject and the object is, it's like giving, okay? Giving. I'm giving you a banana, right? So the one component is me, there's the banana, and I'm giving it to you. And that act is dependent on all those things. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's empty. But even within that, I'm empty, the banana's empty, you're empty. So you just want to remember that activity, nothing in that activity exists from its own side.
Okay.
And it's dependent upon the fact that there's someone giving, there's what's being given and what it's being given to, which is in this case all sentient beings' enlightenment, right?
And that is all the dependent arising.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps the ego out. I gave you this,
mm-hmm.
or I've just dedicated all my merit,
mm-hmm.
and you want to keep.
And Rinpoche also says you should end with rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can rejoice that you did all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Dedicating with emptiness. I think I don't know. I might have got this wrong somewhere. Does it multiply the virtue, the act?
I don't know if it multiplies it or not. I mean, we have to say the multiplying mantras too, don't we?
Yeah. But, you know, just in your everyday kind of...
Yeah. I don't know.
Prayers and stuff.
I don't know if it multiplies it.
Where did we hear that from?
I don't know that I've heard that.
Have you not? No. I might have just made that up then.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. Good enough.
I had some questions to do with the breathing.
Okay.
And it's something to do with, I guess, at times when I've been wanting to keep the practice fairly simple, instead of being focusing on the heart, in the sense of, you know, the lotus at the heart, and then also thinking of the sort of the love or the compassion going out or the healing coming in. So I was thinking that at different points we're receiving, we're sending out,
And I was wondering, thinking about it in the pranayama this morning,
mm-hmm.
and just thinking, oh, I wonder how all this links in with the breath. I've got my own thoughts, but I just wondered.
You mean what links in with the breath? How it links in with pranayama?
Yeah, or just in terms of, and then like breathing when we're doing the mantra, that's, for me, feels like a different form of breathing again.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you're doing the tonglen, breathing in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to be
heading. Well, I think when you're doing the pranayama, you don't really have to think about that too much.
I don't mean in the pranayama, but I'm meaning that when we're doing the sadhana, how we're using the breath and the chakras particularly.
Well, the only time I'm really using the breath is in the beginning. I like to use the breath to first open up the body and then, you know, breathe in the... I like to use breathing meditation for refuge in bodhicitta, you know. I like to breathe in the blessing of the guru, which is the refuge, and I like to give it out to all sentient beings, which is bodhicitta, for me, you know. So I talk about it then, and then we can also use that same image when we're doing the Amitayas part or peace, increase, control, and wrath. You know, we can be breathing it, you know, bring as we in-breathe, we breathe in like the peace, increase, control, and wrath, that comes from the heart. It doesn't come from above. That gets energized at the heart. So, you know, you could think as you breathe in, you can kind of build it up, like you build up that potential. And then when you breathe out, you spread it out throughout your whole body. And then as it builds up even more, it spreads out past your body out to all sentient beings or out to building those eggs, however you want to do it. You know, you can just, I mean, you can stop the eggs. You don't have to do it going out to all sentient beings, you know. So, because it doesn't actually say that there. It just says to breathe it in and then it goes to the eggs, you know. So, and then I've been seeing a lot of sentient beings inside my heart when I do it because I've got a lot of friends and I just keep, I just have them endlessly inside getting the shower of the colors, you know. But I don't see why you couldn't let it go out, extending beyond your protection to out to sentient beings, I suppose. But I didn't see that as being part of this practice. So I was really only doing that in the bodhicitta part. You know?
I'll try and explain what I was meaning. I think it's almost a bit more sort of technical than that. So in terms of the breathing, that whether it's like a stabilizing breath or when we're doing a fuller breath, and that sense of the bellow breath, the bellows breath, and all the body expanding,
mm-hmm.
then it feels like it's something to do with using the energy from that expansion and feeling that it's back to what you were saying the other day about, you know, the tight fist and opening the tight fist mm-hmm. of grasping. So it feels like it's something to do with opening the heart and to do with opening the body, you know, the hollow body and opening the heart. And it just felt that in the pranayama, that particularly with the ribs one, it felt like there was more of an expansion in that heart area, more of a general expansion. And I was noticing it in sadhana that at that moment it felt easier to open the heart area and loosen and
exactly. Well, that's great. Well, that's exactly why I asked Lou to do the pranayama, because if you get in the habit of doing that stuff and you do and you continue that breathing while you're doing the sadhana, you'll get a much more powerful experience with the sadhana. It sounds like that's what's happening for you. It helps to open. So if you do this just very simple pranayama, which she's showing, but then you put a tam in your heart and you start breathing and you open up your chest and you open everything up, well then your heart opens and you're able to feel much more feeling, much more emotion, because you're cracking open all that, that congested concrete, you know, sense of me, you know, and becoming more spacious, because the more spacious we are, the more we can feel the other sentient beings and the love and emptiness and, you know, and so I mean, I think that the pranayama is really an essential part of tantric practice, you know. Is that more what you're talking about?
Yeah,
well, so that's really good. It means you're having a result. So it means that we can tell Lou it's been helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. And that reminds me, Lou's not going to be here for the next 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
She got called. She was planning to be when we planned this retreat, but she got called to Leeds because they're doing some big light offering. Mm-hmm. What is it that they're doing there?
It's some light offering.
Leeds light. So it's faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, she's this consummate set designer, you know, so she's been invited to do that. So what do we want to do about that? Does someone else want to lead it? Does someone feel like you've done it enough that Georgia or Sonia or somebody, you want to do it? Or do you guys want to, should I come or should we, you want to try doing it on your own? What I was going to ask, Anna Barbara, if you wouldn't mind leading the prayers.
Yeah.
You could lead the prayer, because that takes about 15 minutes, right?
Mm.
And then you could try doing it on your own.
Yeah, if someone is leading, it's not doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be...
You know what I mean? If you are leading the session with the breath.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to
do that. No, she wouldn't do that. I mean, she just do some. she would read the morning prayers. Yeah, so she would read
like
the.
If me or Georgia could read this, the.
Yeah. Session. Oh, that will. Yeah.
I think I know what to do, but if I'm leading, I'm not doing it. But I can do it. Well,
yeah.
We can have a go.
Why don't tomorrow you guys
just a reminder,
have a go?
Not guiding, because, like a reminder what to do, because I think we know.
Well, I think what I would like to see happen is, if you guys are comfortable with it, is Barbara can do the morning prayers,
mm-hmm.
and then sit and remember and see how much you can remember.
Yeah.
And then she'll be here, and it's a really good exercise to know how much you can remember. And then, you know, you can all... She's,
you could play it, maybe. The actual breathing recording.
It's been recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You could listen to Lou. This is what we have to decide. Do you want to just? I think it'd be good.
I think it'd be fairly straightforward for us to do with each reminders, because there's just the tense thing and lack of tensing. There's the breathing in one at a time. Then it's putting the three bits of the breath together.
Yeah.
And then it's the counting and going up 4-2-4-2.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
6-4.
Yeah. And then up 6.
Yeah, I think
three,
you know it.
Upstairs and then back downstairs. Yeah.
So I think that'd be great if you just try doing it on your own, and then you'll feel more comfortable about it when you go home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you just need to know the time. I mean, we start
7:15.
So maybe 6:30.
Just turn the clock round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have the clock.
The clock
that I look at. We'll just put it on the altar and everybody can see it.
Okay. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know what time is it to.
Yeah.
What time to finish?
Well, right? I need the dedication anyway.
Yeah, she'll do it.
Oh, I see. You're going to do it. Lead it, are you? The breathing.
No. She just wants to follow.
Just relax.
Yeah.
But no snoring.
Yeah.
No, that's what I meant. Like someone just to know that it's time to...
Yeah, well, maybe Barbara can say 5 more minutes or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 more minutes and then dedication.
6 o'clock?
No.
Is that a good time?
Wait,
I'm already waking at 5. I know, we're already in there. Some of us were already here. So, is that the usual time,
Yeah. And then you can tell Lou, yeah. It'll be great to see how well you do it on your own, and you can also then you can ask her questions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. I was just gonna touch maybe a little tomorrow, but I'll give you a heads up. I was thinking we need to talk something about guru devotion,
mm-hmm.
because we haven't really talked about that, and they say it's the root of the path, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe between now and tomorrow, just maybe jot down some questions or some ideas about guru devotion, and you know why it's important, or what you don't understand about it, or you know, because I think it's there's a lot of confusion. It can be a lot of confusion about guru devotion.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought before we end this, we should have a discussion dedicated to that. So is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have only the last question on vase breathing, because tomorrow we change. Because for me it's new. So when you tight in and you tight everything, is the tightening so strong that can you like make you
No, not that shake, strong. No, very
so if you're
soft.
Shaking is
no,
wrong.
No. Just make it really soft. Very, very soft. This part can be tight, you know, but this part cannot be.
Okay.
And in fact, it should be very gentle. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and you let the breath out before it's hard. Yeah. Yeah, because you can hurt yourself if you mess it too hard, you know. Yeah.
So through the crown or through the third eye?
It goes out here.
Yeah,
okay. Mm-hmm. It goes up to the crown and out.
Up to the crown and out.
Yeah, because it comes up and it goes out like that. It comes up and around. But you're not really seeing it going out because you're just imagining when you do the vase breath that everything's going in.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You imagine it going out when you're cleaning out.
Good,
out. Yeah, and the reason I think I said this, I taught it, I've introduced it because in the sadhana it says you can just sit and do that instead. You know, you can do the vase breath as you're visualizing the nectar's pouring in instead of the mantra. It says you can either do the vase breathing or you can recite the mantra. So I just thought at least introduce the idea. Because it's the vase breathing is the method to stop all the external discursive thinking, it helps with that. So, you know, Lama Yeshe used to teach it at the beginning of practice. You did Vajrasattva retreat. Did you do it at the beginning of the Vajrasattva practice?
No, we just did the 9 round.
Yeah, well, in the earlier days, the sadhana had actually, I think, 3 vase breaths. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how many, but it was vase breathing at the beginning because Lama was so into it, you know. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we can end now. And we have a half an hour break. Unless there's any more quick question. Yeah. Okay.
Can I just venture on a bit of a silly light-hearted note?
Yeah.
That's all right.
That's great. We need that.
I sort of remembered, I think it sort of came a bit out of you talking about last year, that with the sadhana, saying something about that with the chanting, just thinking about lots of Tibetan kids having fun and enjoying things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that must have been somewhere in the back of my mind. And then this might sound a bit silly, but I just thought I'd share with you. So when we're inside the eggs, I'm actually on a swing, and I'm having a bit of a swing. Now, because of the trapped nerves, that's why I have to keep standing up. So what helps is to sort of sway a little bit, and I don't know if that's where it came from, but so I've got all these colours going off, we've all got all the different colours, haven't we? And then I'm just having like a bit of swing there, and it's quite fun, and it's to do with sort of loosening. And
that sounds great.
So you know, I just thought that, you know, in rather than all this sort of tense and too much thinking, which I know I can get very bound to do, I just thought I'd share with you that I'm sitting on a swing, and you could all come join me if you like.
Yeah, the main thing, remember, I keep saying this, just pick the visualizations that are easy, that come naturally to you. They're all there. But we don't have to do them all, you know. Just pick the one that you can stay lighthearted with, you know, and not to try too hard, you know. It's just got to be kind of what, like I've said, you know, if you want to, I'm just Waitara and I'm feeling the lights coming into me, you know, and you can make it as simple as that. And if you get tired, you know, you can just stop everything and just believe it's happening, you know, or... You know, so it's just better not to push at all. And how are you doing, Nicola?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
just trying to focus on the conversation, but struggling a little bit more today.
Yeah. Yeah, well, at least you come.
Yeah. I'm not quite asleep, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's full moon on Sunday.
Mm.
So,
oh yeah, then I had another idea. Would you like to do something different Sunday morning? Because full moon is when we like to do the 4 mandalas to Tara. And it's a puja to kind of like, it's a very makes things happen, you know, it's the green, you know, it makes activities happen. And so I thought if you wanted to, we could do that on Sunday morning instead of, I have to leave at 11:30. And so if you guys want to do Qigong without me, you can. But I thought, you know, we could just meet at 9:30 and do the four mandalas to Chittamani. Mm-hmm. And that only takes about an hour. But then we could come back and do a short white tara or something if we wanted to. And, yeah. That
sounds really nice.
Would you like to try it? Yeah. It's a nice puja. And Lou will be here and she can join us. Mm-hmm. And we can invite the others. But usually we do it on the full moon.
Yeah.
And it's power. It's a lot of chanting, though. You know? So, and we have the books and everything. So, would you like to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll close with a different tara practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. So,
and do we need to get more offerings for that?
No, we can just put up, we just need a torma.
No, okay.
We could just make fruit tormas.
Yeah.
Like last time we had, I mean, we did it on the day of the Extinction Rebellion. We took a time out to do it. And Andi went and got all these big offerings. It was pretty fancy, but really we just need a torma. And but we will need more water bowls. You need four sets of water bowls for Chittamani Tara. I don't know who's doing the bowls, but so Sunday morning we'll need four sets of bowls.
Can we take the other ones down so we can fit them on?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Be there. Yeah. Otherwise we won't fit them on.
Yeah.
Unless you want to put another table.
Yeah, no, we don't need it on the table.
We'll take this down.
Or you could put them in a different part of the altar, too. I don't know. However you want to do it.
Okay.
But anyway, who wants to dedicate? Somebody dedicate?
I'll dedicate.
Thank you.
So just reflecting on the conversations and discussions we've had this afternoon, and just recognizing that you know, everything we share deepens our understanding in some way or another. Of the practice, of ourselves, of the Dharma, and when we add that all up, it can make a real difference. Somebody said that I think it was Elizabeth said she already felt different to when she came on Friday. So maybe that's happening for some of us, and all that benefit that's being built up through that, it's quite extraordinary, really. So whatever benefit we have gained from the discussion today, let's dedicate to each of our enlightenment, each of our quick enlightenment, for the sake of all sentient beings.
Thank you, that was very nice. Yeah. Okie dokie. Well, we'll still start 5 o'clock, if that's okay. It's 5 minutes past, but... Okay, we'll have a nice break and we'll see you in a bit. We can take these, if you want, unless you want to use it again.